Yes, so this morning I'd like to share with us the topic, the bread of life. And I'll be reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Numbers, chapter 11. And I might call on somebody to help me read this morning. Numbers 11. Will Demide help me read from verse 1 to 15? And Jemima read from verse 16 to the end. Sorry, verse 16 to 30. Jemima, verse 16 to 30. Demide, read from verse 1 to 15. And just unmute yourself when you're ready to read.
Chapter 11.
Numbers, chapter 11.
Soon the people began to complain about their hardship, and the Lord heard everything they said. Then the Lord anger blazed against them. And he sent a fire to rage among them, and he destroyed some of the people in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people screamed to Moses for help, and when he prayed to the Lord, the fire stopped. After that, the area was known as Taberah, which means the place of burning, because a fire from the Lord had burned among them there. Then the foreign rambled who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain. "Oh, for some meat," they exclaimed. "We remember the fish who used to eat, we used to eat for free in Egypt. And we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted. But our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna. The manna looked like small coriander seeds. And it was pale yellow, like rum raisins. The people who go out and gather it from the ground, they made flour by grinding it with hand mills or pounding it in mortars. Then they boiled it in a pot and made it into flat cakes. These cakes tasted like pastries with flour. The manna came down on the camp with the dew during the night. Moses heard all the family standing in the doorways of the whining, and the Lord became extremely angry. Moses was also very aggravated, and Moses said to the Lord, "Why are you treating me, your servants, so harshly? Have mercy on me. What did I do to deserve the burden of all these people? Did I give birth to them? Did I bring them into the world? Why did you tell me to carry them in my arms like a mother carries a nursing baby? How can I carry them to the land you swore to give their ancestors? Where I suppose to get meat for all these people? They went whining to me, saying, 'Give us meat to eat. I can't carry all these people by myself. The Lord is far too heavy. If this is how you intend to treat me, just go ahead and kill me. Do me a favor and spare me this misery.'"
Thank you. Jemima, would you read from 16 to 30?
So the Lord said to Moses,
"Louder, please.
see the volume. Okay, it's loud. Oh, yeah, speak loud.
So the Lord said to Moses, gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, and they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and you have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people who I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat, and they shall eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the flesh of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp, the name of Eldad and the name of Medad, and the spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out of the tabernacle yet. Yet they prophesied out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and says, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to them, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people are prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And then Moses returned to the camp, both he and the elders of Israel.
Thank you. Thank you. So here we see a narrative of what happened with the children of Israel. And this was shortly after they had left the land of Egypt. If we remember quite well, that it was during the time of the Passover that the Lord let the angel of death pass over the children of Israel. And shortly after that, Pharaoh sent them packing. Pharaoh was now agreeing for all of them to leave Egypt with their flock, with everything they had, and with a mixed multitude. So if we look at, we don't need to open there, in Exodus chapter 12, if you want to write it down, Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, start from 37. Then the children of Israel sojourned from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. So Pharaoh had let the children of Israel go. They had gone past Passover. This was about 45 days after Passover. You know, Passover was around Easter. So around the beginning of April to around middle of May, they had been traveling. They now got to this place where they said that they began to complain. They began to grumble to Moses that, look, we want meat, you know, give us meat. And then they said in verse, first of all, he said it was now in verse 4, now the mixed multitude. I will take it, you know, that these were people who were not the Jews, because it wasn't only the children of Israel that left Egypt. Some, whether they were Egyptians or people who had been living in Egypt, left with them. And these were part of the mixed multitude. Said the mixed multitude in verse 4, who were among them yielded to intense craving, so that the children of Israel, the children of Israel themselves, also they began to weep and say, who will give us meat? And what did they say? They said, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers of Egypt, the melon of Egypt, the leeks of Egypt, the onions of Egypt, and the garlic of Egypt. They were craving for the kind of food they had when they were in Egypt. But then when I read this passage closely, I began to ask myself, you know, the Lord had given them manna. Initially, the Lord gave them manna, and the Lord gave them quail, these birds that was meat for them. I don't know whether the quail stopped, but the Lord had given them food from heaven, and they were satisfied at least for some time with that food that came from heaven. But it came to this time when a mixed multitude began. They all, first of all, started from the mixed multitude. They began to crave for the delicacies of Egypt. You know, I don't know how many of us remember that song by Bonnie M. What I've had in the past was by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, you know, they remembered Zion when they were in Babylon. Here they had left Egypt and we're still remembering Egypt. But when I read this closely, what dawned on me was that, okay, these people were asking Moses for meat. They were shepherds. In verse 12 that we read, when they left Egypt, they said they left Egypt with their livestock, with mixed multitude. So it is very probable that at the time, because this was just 45 days after, I don't think they will have eaten all their animals they left Egypt with. And as a farmer myself, I know one thing. When you raise livestock, you never kill your parents' livestock. We have what we call the grandparent generation, the parent generation. We never kill them because these are the ones that always produce. So it's the third generation that we normally eat. So these were shepherds. They could not have eaten everything. And my question is that, why would they be asking, give us meat, when they had so much livestock with them? And you know, when it comes to how God deals with us, how God deals with his people, he always goes to the very, very korokoro, the bottom of what the issue is. And so let's hold this in one hand, because the issue here must not have been meat. It must have been something deeper than meat. Now, we said that the Lord gave them manna, you know, as food for them for 40 years. And that was what Demide was reading, that manna was like coriander seed. You know, I don't know how many of us have ever seen coriander. Maybe Sister Tola can tell us what coriander is like, you know, being the chef that she is. But coriander, I don't know how to describe it. Maybe like, it's not a very, very big seed, but it's not like rice. It's bigger than rice, but it's not as big as an apple. It's a very small seed. And, you know, I've had people say manna is white, but then, you know, I saw that people who say manna is white, they're wrong, because they gave us the color here. It said the color is pale yellow. In the King James, it said the color is like delium. And when I looked at delium is like a palish yellow to a light brown. That was the color of manna. So that, but this is, I'm just digressing. This is not the case. God had given them manna. And the pattern in which God gave them manna, he said that this manna will be bread from heaven for you. Every day, as the dew sets, manna will set upon the dew. And every day they were to collect manna according to an omer. An omer was like a bowl, which was food enough for one person for one day. So they were to collect the manna on a daily basis. They were not to collect tomorrow's manna today. So daily, they came five times a day to collect manna. But on the sixth day, which was the day before the Sabbath, that was the only time they were supposed to collect 2 days' manna. Now, anytime they collected manna and the manna stayed overnight till the next day, the manna will rot. So God, that prayer, give us this day our daily bread. That was the first place where it was really in effect. God gave them daily manna, and they ate and they were satisfied. In Exodus, he said that manna tasted like wafers that was sprinkled with honey. So it was like bread with honey in it. But then the question begs itself, why will they be craving for the goods of Egypt where they had just left slavery? You know, remember that God had given them, because they had to trust God, because they didn't know whether the next day's manna was going to fall. So no matter how much they collected, it wouldn't last for the next day. So it was a daily trust in God for that bread that fell from heaven to come. And they trusted God daily until they got to this place where the mixed multitude began to crave for the delicacies of Egypt. And then the children of Israel now began to crave for the same delicacies. And the Bible said that they began to cry to Moses, everyone in front of their own tent. So there was a great lamentation that went throughout the camp for meat. For meat. Now, let's go to that same Numbers 11 to verse 31. And this is where their lamentations, their grumbling, their complaining to Moses, God heard, and God answered them. And let's read what happened. Now, a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about two cubits like 3 feet above the surface of the ground. And all the people stayed up. Okay, let's read this together. And all the people, they stayed up what? All day, all that day, all night, and all the day, the next day, and gathered the quail. He who gathered the least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. Now, let me talk about that a little bit. They said, the person that gathered the least gathers 10 omers. Homers. When I looked at what an omer was, or what 10 homers was, they said it was like 2,000 liters. 2,000 liters, you know those drums that Grandma Ned buys for us to put the Massey barrel in? Those drums are 50-liter drums. So to gather something of 2,000 liters, it will take about 10 of those 50-liter drums. Is it 10? About 40. Okay, thank you, Tenny. Are they 50 liters? No, they're 50 gallons. 50 gallons, yes, because I was calculating it. 50 gallons. And 4 liters make 1 gallon. So it was about 10 of those drums to make the number of omers of quail that each person, they said, and I was the person who gathered the least, not the most. So each person gathered about 10 drums of quail. Now remember the pattern that God had given them for manna. He said, you will gather what everybody needs. For what? For one single day. You are not to gather for the next day. And now that they had meat, everybody began to gather as if there was no tomorrow. Each person, the person who gathered the least, gathered 10 drums of meat. So you begin to see the heart of these people. That it wasn't because of meat. It was because there was a greed and a lack of trust in their heart that they began to crave for the delicacies of Egypt. Definitely, how would one person finish 10 drums of quail? Eh? Okay, let's go on. So, but while the meat, and this was what, you know, began to show the disposition of the Lord, that the root of what they were seeking for. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people. And the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people moved to Hazeroth and camped at Hazeroth. And we remember, as Demide read, this wasn't the first time that they yielded to their cravings. At Taberah, where the Lord caused fire to engulf the outskirts of the camp, God had mercy on them. So it was the same thing that they did again at this Kibroth Hattaavah, where those who yielded to the cravings were buried. Now, I began to think, what do we learn from this lesson? Because the bread that God gave them, wasn't it enough for them? You know, truly, you know, after eating bread so long, you might begin to say, you know, it's bread alone. I remember when I was growing up, and we used to have eba nearly every day. You know, my brother, my sister, and I, we had a song, eba eba every day, eba eba every day. You know, and you know, got my mother mad that. But so at times you would want some variety, you want something else. But like I said, it wasn't because they did not have meat. Because they had livestock that followed them out of Egypt. They had other things that followed them out of Egypt, even with the mixed multitude. So there was something about the hearts of these people. And what I realized was that, yes, they had left slavery, but slavery had not left them. People can leave a physical prison, but their minds are still imprisoned. People can be set free from physical shackles, but their hearts, their minds, who they are still shackled to their past. I remember, you know, somebody close to me, that when that person was growing up, they didn't have shoes. You know, they walked to school bare feet. And as an old man, I remember that person had more shoes than a person would need in life. The person had been liberated from the poverty of not having shoes to take to school. But the poverty, the shackles of still being in prison in poverty had never left that person. That no matter what, even if they didn't need the shoes, they had to buy the shoes. So it's one thing to be set free from the poverty and shackles of slavery. But it's another thing to be made free in our mind, in our being, from the shackles of slavery. Remember what the word of the Lord says: him who the Lord sets free is made free indeed. The Lord has made us free, that not only from the shackles of sin, from the physical manifestations of sin have we been set free from, but from the mental servitude to sin. Now, what we see here is a pattern also of the Christian life. that we as Christians, we have to be careful that we rightly assess our lives to see, though the Lord has set us free from the shackles of sin, that our minds are still not shackled to Egypt. And, you know, we call this some of these things, I call them respectable sins. People are set free from the physical shackles of disco, of going to nightclub. And when they come into church, they said, well, so that church will still give them a semblance of what they were set free from, we have to now have like nights, worship, dim the lights, play music. My brethren, they've been set free, but their minds are not set free. That is why they're still, those are the garlics of Egypt. We've been set free from the shackles of all you think about is the cloth you put on. And now we come to church, we want to have fashion show so that we won't miss, you know, those shows we used to have in the world. It's the cucumbers of Egypt that we are still longing for. Those whom the Son has set free, indeed they are set free. They are free indeed. Now, the bread that the Lord asked them to trust him for, it wasn't only physical bread that was being made manifest. Let's go to the book of John 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, and I'll start to read from verse 22. John 6, from 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into their boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" "Our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life." Verse 35. Verse 48, again, "I am the bread of life." Verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give you is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the true manna. Jesus is the one that satisfies. Brethren, many times we are shackled to the onions, the garlic, the cucumbers of Egypt, because we think that what we have or what we had while still shackled, you know, I don't know how a person has left 400 years of slavery and they are still craving because of their bellies to go back to being enslaved in the way they were tortured. In the way they were mercilessly enslaved in Egypt, where they had to make bricks without being given straw, and their portion of bricks would not be cut short. But because of greed, which we saw in how they gathered quail, because of greed within their hearts, because of the shackles of the shackles in their mind, They grumbled. They complained. Jesus is the bread of life. And the question I ask myself and I ask us today, you know, what are we grumbling about? What are we complaining about? Only you can know. Only you can know in your heart. Because when you compare where you have been coming from to where you are today, can you say God has not blessed you? Do you trust God to meet your needs on a daily basis? The Lord has said that He has given us all things to possess. He has given us things to possess. It is not that He has given possessions to possess also. He has given us, we possess possessions. Possessions are not supposed to possess us. Now we're at home, you know, and I make fun of people now. That's a really nice shoe. Are you wearing it now? That really nice Gucci bag. Who is looking at it? Your children or the walls? So we see that these things, yes, it's good to have them. But the needs of life, what we need, God has stripped us of everything to show us. What we need in life is not much. What we need in life is what we have right now, family, those who love us and those who we love around us. What we need in life is the simple things we eat, drink. What we need in life is a relationship with God. What we need in life is peace, the joy of the Lord. We have been stripped, you know, of everything that the world runs after, that the Lord knows these are the things we need, and we have been given those things. God has put the world on a Sabbath right now. And the question is that, are we recognizing who the bread of life is? Are we recognizing? Because by God's grace, our prayers will be answered. COVID-19 will end. The question is, when we step back out, are we going to continue in the same hunt for the rat race, or in the same race for the rats? Or are we going to be in a place of rest where we can set apart time once again that, Lord, yes, when COVID-19 forced us to see that we can actually set apart 30 minutes just to pray. We can actually set apart 30 minutes in our day just to turn aside to talk to God. Are we going to continue in this same rat race that I have to have, I have to have, I have to have? Jesus is the bread of life. He has said it over and over again. Take the story from when they left Egypt to here in Capernaum. These same people who accosted him, what were they looking for? It was the same bread. And Jesus went to the root of the matter. It wasn't because of what I did that you people are seeking me. It was because you want your bellies filled again. It was because of this same thing, bread, greed, our bellies, our stomachs. Jesus is the bread of life. Let me end with this, brethren. In my life, God has done many marvelous things, and I've come to the place where I can say without any shadow of doubt that except the Lord keeps the city, the watchmen, they watch but in vain. The jobs we have, it's because God has provided it to us. You know, I've told the story before, but I never get tired of telling it because it amazes me. When I left Freddie Mac, I was home for 2 years. At the moment, I was, you know, about saying, okay, do I give up looking for work? On what do I do? Brother Tunde called me. We have a job here. Send me your resume. That one came no force. After I left that one, I was home for some time again. My manager called me after the two and a half years. I didn't interview. I didn't do anything. I started work again. So I've just come to realize that, yes, we are meant to pursue, but our trust should never be in our strength. Our trust should be in the bread of life that is able to provide for us. Our trust should be in Jesus, who is the bread of life, who has said, has taught us to pray, give us this day, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Give us this day. And that leads me to believe that thing of taking every day to talk to him matters. Taking every day to turn aside to say, Lord, thank you, it matters. Because these people of the children of Israel, the true motive wasn't because they didn't have meat. They had meat, but they were craving something deeper. What they were craving showed that they did not trust that the everyday needs. You know, in Egypt, they had it freely. But to trust that the Lord will meet my need tomorrow. Things that I know I need, I can't see them today. Can I trust that when push comes to shove, the Lord will come through for me? That is the heart of everything. Can I trust that God will come through for me? Can I trust that God would make a way where there seems to be no way? Can I trust him? Is he the first person I call upon when I'm in a bind, when I'm in a jam, when I'm in a fix? Or do I start running from pillar to post? Who can help me? Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth we learn. You are the bread that if anybody eats of this bread, the person will never hunger or thirst again. Jesus, I pray that trust in you to provide our daily needs, to provide for us, grant unto us, O Lord. We can gather with our strength. We can gather with everything within us. But without you, the author of life, it means nothing because it will all perish. But that trust, that childlike trust, that I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know that you will be there for me. Give unto our hearts once again, Lord, we pray, so that we would not crave for the delicacies of our pasts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If we have a hymn for the day, can someone project it? If not, can someone please project the